Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Join Carol as she shares her knowledge on a topic of interest to everyone, money. On the show, Carol will discuss starting and running a microbusiness, teaching your kids about money, and managing money in a homeschool organization. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Hi, this is Carol Topp, your host for the Dollars and Cents Show, and this is episode number 5, devoted to homeschool leaders. Today, I am going to be talking to you about starting and running a successful homeschool group, doing it correctly, doing it properly. I'm going to share with you my accounting knowledge because I am an accountant. I'm a certified public accountant, CPA. Hence the name of my website, which is homeschoolcpa.com. And at that website, I combine my knowledge of being an accountant and working with lots of not-for-profits, as well as my experience of homeschooling and being a part of a homeschool co-op and many other groups. I did homeschool for 14 years and retired now because my daughters are both in college, but I continue to work with a lot of homeschool leaders trying to share my knowledge of how to run a homeschool group successfully, properly, in terms of the financial or the money side. I'm not going to talk so much today about what your homeschool group does or what your programs are, what you could offer, but I'm going to talk more about the things that are probably behind the scenes to most of your members, but those are the things that provide the strong foundation for your homeschool group to be successful. Okay, let me tell you where you can get the show notes for this program to help you as a homeschool leader, or you can share it with your board. You can go to dollarsandcentsshow.com, and cents is spelt like common sense, not like the pennies. So dollarsandcentsshow.com, look for episode number 5, and it'll be titled something about starting a homeschool group. Or you can go over to my website, homeschoolcpa.com, click on the podcast link there, and you'll be taken to the list of the podcasts and those that in particular have to do with running a homeschool organization or homeschool leaders. If you have any comments or questions, of course, post them to me over at homeschoolcpa.com. That would be great, and I can try to answer your questions. Probably you might have a few after a program like this. This will be the first of 2 parts. The show airing today, we're going to talk about the basics, like I said, of setting up a homeschool group. The second part is going to be about getting tax exemption, what it is and why you might even want to consider it for your homeschool group. There are really 3 things that you need to be very successful when you set up a homeschool organization. And most of them are nonprofits because you typically have the first step, which is a board. The 3 steps, by the way, are a board, bylaws, and a budget. And those are 3 things that you need to start your homeschool group successfully. So let me talk first of all about a board. See, a not-for-profit will have a board, meaning a group of people or a leadership team or whatever you want to call them, but a group of people running it, not just one person who says, I'm in charge and this is my baby. Now, you might have a founder who starts it all, and that's great, but she should gather around her people who can help her run this organization. It should not be just one person carrying all this burden alone because there's just too much work to do for one person. As a matter of fact, I wrote a book specifically about homeschool co-ops, but it's called Homeschool Co-ops, How to Start Them, Run Them, and Not Burn Out. And one of the reasons leaders burn out is because they're trying to do it all themselves. So the first step you need to have, if you don't already have it, is a board, or you can call it a leadership team, or you can call it helpers, or whatever you want. But what it means is you need to get people to help you carry this burden alone. Matter of fact, I would advise you to not even consider starting a homeschool group unless you have a group of people to support you. I belong to a Facebook group, and it's kind of a hidden group, but it's called I Am a Homeschool Group Leader. It's for homeschool group leaders. If you want to join, go find it in the show notes, which again are over at dollarsandcentsshow.com, episode number 5, or homeschoolcpa.com. Look at the blog page or the podcast page for episode number 5. At this Facebook group, there was someone who posted that she is having an impossible or very difficult time trying to get other people to help her run her support group. And I just felt so sad for this woman because she's doing it all alone. And I don't really know what to advise her. I didn't have any advice because I didn't know enough about her situation. But I'm sure she was tempted to just let the whole group fold. And indeed, I would say don't start a group unless you have that group of people to help you carry it and run it, because you should not be doing it alone. The second most important thing you need after having a board is to have bylaws. Now, bylaws are kind of where you share who your group is and what you do. And it kind of provides sort of a structure to your group. And it can be very simple, just a few pages, but it should probably be written down and looked at by your board or those initial people that help you run your homeschool group, because issues will come up later. And you can always refer to your bylaws to say, well, this is who we said we are and this is what we do. So, for example, I think your bylaws should answer the W questions, the who, what, where, and then how often will we meet and how much will this cost. Matter of fact, when you gather that first board together, those first leaders, and even if they aren't the ones that stick with you, at least people who would advise you at the beginning, work out those I call them 5 W's and 2 H's, or 4, 3 W's and 2 H's. Decide who your group is. Is it a group for teenagers? Is it a musical group? Is it a support group for mom? Is it a co-op? Or is it going to try to be all those? Which it could be, but that's going to take more work and more structure. So decide who you are. And then very closely related to that will be what you do. Matter of fact, that should be your mission statement. We are a, that's the who, a homeschool group, a support group, a music group, a sports club, and we do. And then fill in the blank there. What do you do? We offer classes. We offer support for homeschool mom. We offer art classes. We run a basketball league. Something like that. Okay, so answer the who and the what. And that will be the opening two lines of your bylaws. We are an organization that made up of. That's the who. That does the what. Then you should probably discuss, although it won't necessarily go on your bylaws, but the where. Sometimes bylaws will say things like this organization resides in, and it'll name the county or the town or the city, because you don't need to get any more specific than that in your bylaws. By the way, I have sample bylaws over at homeschoolcpa.com. Look at those. Oh, it's on the leader tools page and under sample documents. So homeschoolcpa.com/leader tools. And you can look at my sample bylaws. They're in a nice Word document, so you can download them and edit them as you want to. But you don't really want to get too detailed about where your group meets in your bylaws, because that can change, right? Say, you know, you don't want to say we meet at the community church at such and such a city, because that could change. So anything that's going to change or could potentially change frequently, you really don't want to put in your bylaws. Your bylaws are something that defines the structure of your group and doesn't change a whole lot. Okay. But your board needs to talk about those things initially. You know, where are we going to meet? Then how often are we going to meet? You could put that in your bylaws, but you could change it. So how often? You know, usually co-ops meet once or twice a week. Support groups might meet once or twice a month. And then the how much, which kind of gets into the third step, budget. I'll talk about that in a minute. So the point of bylaws is to mention what your purpose is. That's what do we do? Or maybe even a why. Why do we do this? To support homeschooling, to educate our kids. And the members, who are we targeting? Are we targeting homeschool parents? Are we targeting athletes? Who are we targeting? Okay. You might also talk in your bylaws more about what it takes to be a member of your group. Okay, again, you'll see in my sample bylaws, sometimes I say things like this requires a fee. If you don't pay your fee, you're not part of the group. A lot of homeschool groups have statements of faith. You might want to just Google that, homeschool statements of faith. You'll come up with lots of examples, and you can write your own, or you can leave it pretty generic and copy somebody's. And also the bylaws, outside of discussing your purpose and your members, they'll discuss how the leaders are chosen. And there's basically one of two ways leaders are chosen. Either the board replaces itself, meaning there's a board that gets started they kind of self-elect. And then when they want to add people, they just discuss it among their board and they vote to bring someone else on the board. Or if someone needs to leave, they make it a board vote. So it's all kind of internal only to the board. Or you could have the membership decide to vote and basically kind of elect boards. I think it's more common in homeschool circles for the board to just replace themselves. Some groups kind of do a little mishmash and they might say, hey, we're looking for people who are interested in being part of the board. They send out an email or make an announcement at the beginning of a co-op or something like that. So it's kind of a, hey, you all are interested, send in your name. But there's no real vote because some groups don't want this to become a popularity contest or a campaign or anything like that. And the board should be looking to say, well, you know, we need to fill certain roles on this board. Okay. And the roles that a board fills are, first of all, the chairman, or he's sometimes called the president. That's the person who sets the agenda for the board meetings and makes sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to. The vice president, who usually assists the president. The secretary, who writes down the minutes and keeps all the important papers of the organization, and then the treasurer, who keeps track of the money. And those should be at least three different roles: the president or chair, the secretary, and the treasurer. Minimum of those three. Then you can add a vice chair, and then you could add more people to your board if you want to, and even assign them roles if you want to. Typically, the larger the board, larger the group, the larger the board. But you can keep your board to 3, 5, 7 members, typically an odd number, although that's not, you know, set in stone. Okay. Your bylaws should spell that out. How are new leaders going to be chosen? By elected by the board or elected by the membership? Okay. So that's the kind of stuff that goes into your bylaws. Why are these important? Who sees them? Well, nobody really sees them except your organization. But I'll tell you a story. A homeschool leader emailed me recently because she was calling the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, in order to start filing this form called the 990N, which is an annual form that the IRS would like all nonprofits, yes, including small homeschool organizations, to file. And she called them to say, I would like to start filing this, you know, take my information, put me in your database so I can start fulfilling my legal obligation here. And the first question they asked her was, do you have organizing documents? This was a support group, and they didn't. They didn't have bylaws. They didn't have anything that stated what their purpose was or how they're organized. And she kind of emailed me in a bit of a panic, like I couldn't do what I was trying to do because the IRS told me I needed an organizing document. And indeed, probably the IRS was probably helping her out, although it felt kind of frustrating to her at the time. I think it's a very good idea for your organization to have bylaws because it helps you decide some of those very important questions of who do we serve, what is our mission, our purpose, and then the more common things that don't, again, have to be in the bylaws but ought to be discussed, such as where are we going to meet, how often, and how much are we going to charge our members. But the who we are, what we do, what are the rules for membership, and how do we elect our leaders? That's what goes into the bylaws. Very important to have. Okay, and again, sample bylaws over at homeschoolcpa.com. So I said there are three important steps to running a successful homeschool organization: the board, the group of leaders that will help you run it, at least three, hopefully with different jobs, the president, the secretary, and the treasurer. Then, of course, you can add more. And then writing up bylaws, okay, which I just provide the structure. So those are the first two B's, board and bylaws. Let me take a little break here. And when I come back, we'll discuss the third B for running a successful homeschool organization, and that is planning and creating a budget.
Homeschool leader, do you feel confused or overwhelmed by the job of running your homeschool group? You're not alone. Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA, is here to help. Carol is an accountant, author, and retired homeschool mom who understands you. Her website has helpful information on co-ops, paying workers, and managing the money in a homeschool group. If you need personalized advice, set up a consultation with Carol. She's happy to discuss your particular situation. Visit homeschoolcpa.com today and get the information you need to successfully run your homeschool group.
welcome back. This is Carol Topp. This is the Dollars and Cents Show, and today I'm talking to homeschool group leaders. We're talking about how to start and run a successful homeschool group. I do have some helpful information over at homeschoolcpa.com. I strongly recommend a couple resources I've got for you. One, if you're starting a homeschool co-op or thinking of it, my book, Homeschool Co-ops, How to Start Them, Run Them, and Not Burn Out, would be very helpful to you. This book is newly updated, and I wrote it originally in 2008, and in 2013, I updated it just to clarify some things that really kind of needed to be updated after 5-6 years. And it kind of has a new cover to kind of look like some of my other books. You can find it over at homeschoolcpa.com or on Amazon. Or you can find it in a PDF version, if you like that, electronic version. Or you can find it in a Kindle version as well. So lots of different formats for homeschool co-ops, how to start them, run them, and not burn out. And I also want to mention that over at homeschoolcpa.com, my website, I've got this part of the website called Leader Tools. And it probably doesn't get as much attention as it should. But under there, you can find some great articles that I've written about how to start a homeschool group, important things like picking your name and getting an employer identification number to open up a checking account in the name of the organization. And then important things that I'm going to talk about, like getting a board, getting a budget, bylaws, and really starting to establish yourself as a proper not-for-profit organization. And then ultimately, when and how you need to maybe obtain tax exempt status, which will be the next episode of the Dollars and Cents Show, episode number 6. So make sure you listen for that. I also encourage you to go over to Homeschool CPA and sign up for my newsletter. My newsletter is a collection of blog posts, and every blog post I put out, or almost every one, is a question from a leader like you, and then my answer. And so if you sign up for my newsletter, what you're going to get is about once a month, not too often, an email, and it will be the last few blog posts, which are, again, questions and answers from homeschool leaders. So you might find that very helpful. And typically, you'll have 3 or 4 of the latest blog posts, 3 or 4 questions that leaders have asked me recently, and I put their question and my answer out there. And chances are, if they're asking that question, then somebody else has that same question. And there may be issues coming up that you hadn't even thought about that other leaders are running into and asking. So I think the newsletter that I send out might be very helpful to you. You go grab that and sign up at homeschoolcpa.com right there in the homepage in the upper right corner. Okay, let me get back to the 3 steps or the 3 tools I thought that were most important to helping you start a homeschool organization and continue to run it successfully. It's the first 2 were a board and bylaws. And I talked about what need to be in your bylaws, told you there are sample bylaws over at homeschoolcpa.com underneath the Leader Tools page. And the show notes also have a link to that. The show notes for this program are found over at dollarsandcentsshow.com. This is episode number 5. Well, let me get to some, of course, that's near and dear to my heart because I am an accountant, and that's a budget. You really need to have a budget. I'm kind of surprised sometimes at the homeschool groups that come and talk to me because I do a lot of phone consultations, or maybe they're applying to the IRS for tax-exempt status and they don't have a budget. Some of them need help just organizing their money better, okay? But you need a budget, and because a budget is just planning with numbers. So it means that you're working at your group to try to plan what you're going to do in your group. What happens next? You know, what will next semester look like? I strongly encourage that you need to not just budget your expenses, where your money's going to go out, but you also need to consider where your money's going to come in. Where is it going to come from? Now, with most homeschool groups, it comes from your membership fees, or if you're a co-op, from the fees you charge for tuition, and sometimes fundraisers, okay? But fundraisers are less reliable, so try not to rely on them too much and try not to make them too much of your income. I like the idea of you keeping your fundraising proceeds to 30%, maybe even 25% or less of your total. Most of your money should come from your fees that you charge your members for, you know, the support group or the co-op. Okay, so you need to estimate where your money is going to come from, and then, of course, where it's going to go, what your expenses are, and you have to consider things like website and insurance and supplies, and if you're paying workers, like hiring someone to come in and teach at a co-op, how much is that all going to cost? And what does rent, if you have to pay rent, cost? Oh, so many things go into running a homeschool organization. List as many as you can think of, and then leave a buffer, a small surplus. It's perfectly all right for a homeschool group to have some surplus. It's perfectly okay for a nonprofit to, quote, have a profit. We don't call it profit in nonprofit areas, but we call it a surplus. And the reason you want to have a small surplus is because emergencies happen. In my book, Money Management in a Homeschool Organization, I talk about my own homeschool co-op that fortunately carried a small surplus, and I mean a couple hundred dollars or something like that. And we were very grateful when there was some damage done to the church that we were meeting in for our co-op. We damaged the carpeting. Some ink leaked from the printer and damaged the carpeting. We had to hire a professional carpet cleaner to get the stain out. Cost $250. Certainly was not part of our budget, but fortunately we had a small surplus to use in case emergencies happen like that. So always do that when you're budgeting. Play around with the budget if you need to. I've got a very helpful book. I just redid it, newly revised. It's called Money Management in a Homeschool Organization, A Guide for Treasurers. And I had a book called Money Management in a Homeschool Organization. It was really short. It was only 40 pages. And this new book, was the subtitle, A Guide for Treasurers, is about 124 pages. So I've really expanded it. And in there, I show a number of different budgets for homeschool organizations. So I think you'll get some inspiration from them. That none of them are from real groups. They're kind of a collection of the best that I've seen of homeschool groups and how they record their information and, you know, how they organize it. How they create what's called a chart of accounts, just to organize it. Because to me, again, I'm an accountant, so this is the way I think. But if your finances are in order, it means you've done good planning for your homeschool group. That's all that a budget is. And then your board should be presented with that budget and should vote on it before the start of the next program year. For a lot of you, that's probably your school year. Or maybe for homeschool support groups, you run more in a calendar year. That's okay too. But show it to your board before your new year starts and say, if you're the treasurer, or the president might bring it to the board and say, this is what we think is going to happen. This is where our income is going to come from. These are our programs that we're planning. This is how much they will cost. And the board will talk about it and decide if they think that's accurate. That's what's called planning with numbers. Then it's the job of the treasurer, and the board should follow up and make sure he or she does this every month or every time you meet, whether that's once a month or every 2 or 3 months. Compare what's actually being spent with your budget and compare what actual income was with the budget so you know if you're on track or not. Very important planning tools. And really, a group that does that is successful. And you know why? It's like a doctor taking the pulse of a patient. You're keeping your fingers on what's going on in the group through managing the money. Now, of course, if your group is small, it's easier to manage. But the larger the group takes a little more management. You also want to keep your finger on the pulse of your group, how it's doing by, you know, talking to people, how they're feeling about the group as well. Is it meeting their needs? But your board should be exercising what's called their fiduciary duty, which is their responsibility to take care of this group running successfully. So I hope I've shared a little bit of my knowledge with you about what it takes to run a successful homeschool group. It does take a leadership team or a board. It does take some bylaws because they define your purpose and who you are serving, who your members are, and how your leaders are chosen. And then the budget, which is planning for your programs with dollar signs in front. And a good, healthy budget usually means a good, healthy homeschool group, and so that you can continue to do what you set out to do. Like I said, I've mentioned a couple times some very helpful resources to you. My new book called Money Management in a Homeschool Organization, A Guide for Treasurers, is available. And it's in paperback right now, and very soon it should be available in Kindle format as well. And it'll be available in PDF format if you prefer electronic versions. And my other helpful books might be Homeschool Co-ops, How to Start Them, Run Them, and Not Burn Out. And I have a third book, which will be more the focus of the next episode on the Dollars and Cents show. That book is called The IRS and Your Homeschool Organization. And in episode 6, I'm going to talk about tax-exempt status, what it is, and why you might want it for your homeschool group. So I hope this has been helpful. I hope it piques your interest about what kind of things you might need if your group doesn't have a strong board right now. I suggest you work pretty hard at getting one. If you don't have bylaws, I suggest you get those, and definitely suggest that if you don't already have a budget, that you strongly consider doing one, because again, it is just a planning tool, planning with dollars. So I hope that you'll join me next time as I try to share through the podcast some more helpful information for homeschool leaders. And I wish you all the best. Please feel free to contact me or email me, carol@homeschoolcpa.com, and I'll see how I can help your homeschool group be more successful. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.